Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Food Network Obsessed. This is the podcast where we dish on all things food with your favorite chefs, food influencers, and Food Network stars. I'm your host, Jamie Sire, and today we have a Peruvian chef on the podcast to talk about his hot new show on Food Network and the key to romantic meals. He is a chef, entrepreneur, model, and the host of the all-new Hot Dish with Franco. It's Franco Noriega. Franco, welcome to the podcast. You are somewhat a fresher face to the Food Network family, and we are so excited to get to know you. How does it feel to have your very own Food Network show?
Oh my God, Jamie. First of all, thank you so much for the invitation. I am so happy to be part of the Food Network family. It is such an incredible place to be, and I am very excited to share with all the audiences the incredible recipes that we've been cooking.
What can we expect from the new show, Hot Dish?
A lot of fun moments, that's for sure. Great recipes. I've been traveling around the world since I was 12 years old. So my style of cooking is very much eclectic. It is an inspiration of different places, very much of Latin America, for sure. I am Peruvian, born and raised, but starting at 12 years old, I've lived in Mexico, in Brazil, in Argentina. And then eventually in New York, I've been here for 16 years, so like half of my life. And it's just a mix of all these incredible places. I have a grandmother that's Italian. My mom's also Italian. So I get a lot of this like Italian background in my cooking, but it really is a lot of like different places and bold flavors.
What was the most important thing for you to make sure you incorporate into each episode as you were kind of developing this concept with Food Network?
So I've been living in New York for a long time, and I think that has influenced a lot my way of cooking. And that's just like that we don't have a lot of time, you know, like we're always on the run.
Yes, we are.
So I love cooking, but I don't like to be in the kitchen for more than like, you know, 30, 45 minutes, you know. So most of my recipes are delicious, but they're easy to make and just quick recipes, you know? So I think like that is something that translates, and then it's like, it's just basically like goes along the series and all the episodes. These are like super delicious recipes that are easy to make. And some of them have like new ingredients, probably. Like we have these incredible peppers from like Mexico and Peru, and we use them in the sauces, but don't get intimidated by, you know, these crazy names. You can find them anywhere, and they're just going to add such delicious flavors to all your dishes.
Is one of those peppers Aji Amarillo?
Yes.
I fell in love with that pepper when I was in Peru and I was obsessed, but I felt like I couldn't find it in as many places here.
You know what? I mean, thanks to Amazon, I think like now you can find anything anywhere in like, you know, in 24 hours. And I think that's one of the things that I feel like before, you know, when I was cooking in New York, and to find ají amarillo or to find rocoto, which is another pepper that we use a lot, or even the poblano peppers or the chipotles, you would have to run to a sea town in Queens to get this Latin American products. But now you can get them even at Whole Foods, you know, like everywhere. So I feel like they're easy to get now. And I feel like they're going to add just so much more. I mean, just like you said, the ají amarillo, just it's not only spice, but just so much flavor.
Yeah, so much flavor. And it was unlike anything I had ever tried before. If you were to describe your cooking style in three words, what would they be?
Flavor, easy, and crowd pleaser, for sure.
I love that. I think that was more than three words, but we'll let it slide. You know, I know you mentioned your family and your grandmother. Who has been the most significant influence in your culinary journey?
So I come from a family of restaurateurs. My parents own bakeries. And so I was always brought up in this business of food. But the person who really taught me how to cook was my nanny, Delfina. She's a Peruvian woman that comes from the mountains, from the Andes. So she had a lot of knowledge of many ingredients that were not part of, like, you know, like normal ingredients, not only peppers, but just like quinoa and incredible produce, you know, and the way we used it. So she was the one who taught me how to make like dressings and just like to how to peel potatoes and like how to waste as little as possible. Because of course, I come from a country that is, you know, it's in development. So food is very, we don't waste a lot of food, put it that way. So she was very conscious about that since growing up. You know, she would peel with a very thin peel and she would show me all these things. She's like my mother. I love her to death. And she was the one who really taught me how to cook.
Can you share maybe your favorite childhood food memory that really, you know, kind of sparked your interest in food and cooking?
I remember there's two memories, but they're very much the same, just like with different women in my life. So one, I mean, I remember my mother, my grandmother, my Italian grandmother and Delfina always putting my, like, sitting me in the counter and being like, you can only watch, okay? You cannot do anything. If you want to learn how to cook, you need to watch. And I would be like, you know, like watching, but eventually I was like tired of watching. So I was like, I want to do something. And if it, I mean, I would, they would let me how to do something. They were like, okay, you'll have the opportunity to really cook something. And the minute I cook something, I completely screwed the dish. And they were like, then that's it. You'll never do it again. But they were so sweet to always teach me again.
As you mentioned, your parents, you know, owned restaurants, bakeries in Peru. So you were kind of exposed to the hospitality industry early on. What was the most important lesson you learned from your parents during that time?
I think people management and the importance of having a team. They had more than 15 bakeries in Peru. So that was like 600 employees. And to manage this amount of people, aside of having really good management skills, it's about keeping people motivated and really making them feel as part of the bigger purpose, which is the company. So I feel like this was one of the biggest things that I take away from my parents, like, you know, like building a business in food, is really getting your team involved and making them part of this big company.
You mentioned a couple of times, you know, age 12, that's when you kind of started traveling. That was also the year, I assume they go hand in hand, that you were named to the Peruvian national swim team.
Yes.
And you were competing professionally for 5 years. What was that period of your life like? And how did food play a role in your training and preparation?
Yeah, I mean, this is the time exactly that I started living in different countries, right? Because I was swimming for the professional Peruvian swimming team. And what happens a lot in Latin America is like the top three swimmers for each team, they get to live abroad and train with some other team. So I would go to Argentina for like 6 months and like live and train with the Argentinian team. And then just like that, would go to different countries. So when you're a swimmer or any professional athlete, you like food is a very big part of your life. Mm-hmm. And you get a nutritionist and you have to hit all the calories. One of the things is that my metabolism got really fast just because you're eating this insane amount of food And of course, you're burning a lot because you're training like 5 hours a day, but you're getting to experience like so much food. So like, you know, I mean, at some point I was like, I'm tired of just eating grilled chicken, you know, so get me like flavor. So it was interesting because in Mexico, I remember like, there were so many ways to do grilled chicken with like the amount of flavors and like and peppers they had. And like in Argentina, it was more about the quality of the meat and just a little bit of sauce, but not so much of it. So every country had its own particular way of giving you the same basically grilled chicken, but just like making it interesting. So these are memories that I take with me and that I still reference back in all of the ways that I cook.
How many calories were you consuming per day at that time in your life?
Oh my God, around 15 to 20,000 calories.
What?
A day?
A day?
Yeah, a day. I was eating, it sounds crazy when I say this, but I was eating 2 loaves of bread, but like the full, like 20 slices. And then I was like 20 grilled chickens, like 20 breasts. I mean, throughout
what?
The day,
per
right?
Day? But every day.
Yeah, because you wake up in the morning and you're having like 4 grilled chickens for breakfast. It's not like you're having like 2 eggs, you know? And then you go, of course, you train at 5 in the morning for 2.5 hours. So you're coming out exhausted and super hungry. Then you rest for like 4 or 5 hours and then you swim again for like 2 hours and you rest 3 hours and then you swim again. So it's a lot of like physical exercise.
Wow, that's incredible. What was it like, you know, kind of adjusting once you stopped swimming professionally and competitively? I mean, how did your metabolism like, I guess,
adjust,
catch up and adjust? Yeah.
You know what? I feel like, I mean, I have a very fast metabolism even up until now. I eat a lot of food. I mean, people always think like, oh, you know, you must really like look what you eat. But I'm like, no, I eat so much. And when people are with me, they're like, how is it possible that you eat all this amount of bread? I was like, I swam so much that I feel like, you know, this is staying with me.
You're very lucky. I wish I still had that metabolism. All right. Walk me through how and why you ended up in New York City and what were your dreams and ambitions at that time in your life and how have they evolved since then?
So I came to New York to study acting. That was the reason why I moved to New York. I went to American Academy of Dramatic Arts. I was 17 when I moved to New York and it was just like everything. I mean, arriving to New York just opened my mind and just made me look at the world in a different way. I was also so young when I moved that I feel like I almost grew up in New York also, you know, because like at 17, you're still like, you're not 100% formed. So I kind of like finished my formation here in New York. But then after like 2 years of studying acting, I was discovered by a big photographer here in New York to be a model. And it was the first time that I had to make a big decision in my life as if to continue my acting studies or to take this huge opportunity in life that I was being discovered as a model. And I took it because I believe, and you know, this was one of the first times that I had to make this big decision. And then after that, it really became kind of a, like something that I follow, that is that when an opportunity presents itself, you have to take it. You know, even if you are in a weird or moment, or even if you are in a safe moment, I think you really have to risk it and take it. And I took it. I was a Dolce & Gabbana model, like an exclusive model for 2 years. And that opened all the doors in the world, in the fashion world. And after that, I did like the Paris, Milan, London, Tokyo, New York, kind of like modeling life for 8 good years. And they were incredible. It showed me so many cool things. But it also kind of like showed me that I had already reached the top. And the difference between doing one brand to a different brand at that level is very much the same. So I felt like I was not evolving anymore. And this is when I had kind of like this moment where I was like, okay, I want to do something else. Like this was an amazing 8 years, but what else comes after this? That's when I went back to school here in New York. I decided to be like based in New York again. I was also exhausted of traveling, like, you know, 3 days here, 2 days there. It was like the whole like jet lag from Europe was a lot. And then I came to New York and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go back to my original passion, which was cooking. And I feel like it was my original passion because I grew up with it, you know, with my parents' business. And also Peru is, I mean, now it's the number one country in the world for food. So we've always been very much food centered. So it's very much part of the culture and we're brought up in the kitchen in a way. So it was always a passion of mine. So when I came to New York, I was like, okay, I'm going to study cooking, culinary, not so much to be in the kitchen, but to have the backbone in order to open restaurants, which was something that my parents have been doing for years. And I've also kind of like been in this school of like opening restaurants, just like without knowing it. So I did that. I went to French Culinary Institute. And as soon as I graduated, I opened my first restaurant, Baby Brasa, in New York City.
Yeah. I mean, it's an incredible story. And you've obviously found success in all of these different, you know, facets of your life as a model, an entrepreneur, a swimmer, a chef. And as a former swimmer, I mean, can you kind of talk about the importance of not staying in your lane and kind of getting out of your comfort zone when it comes to these huge life decisions?
So I think one of the things that for me is the biggest lesson of being a competitive athlete is that you're constantly having goals in life, right? You have short, mid-term, and long-term goals. Even when I was swimming, like a short-term goal was to win the national team. Then the mid-term goal was to get into the South American Championship. And a long-term goal would be to win the Olympics. So you're always having these crazy huge goals that seem totally unattainable. Mm-hmm. But at least you have your north is it's very clear where you're going. And I think that's very important, you know? And for this, you understand that taking risks is part of the journey, right? Because nothing comes, just like you said, by staying in your lane. You have to take the risk and you have to kind of like dive into the unknown in most of the times. As long as you know where you're going, even if you don't know where you are at that certain moment, you're good, you know, because you have a direction. And of course, you know, following your heart and following your intuition is very much part of that. So I feel like having goals is one of the biggest lessons. And of course, the most important thing is discipline with everything you do.
When you decided to go to culinary school, was owning and opening a restaurant was that one of the, you know, the big goals in the future? Or did that kind of come along as it went?
You know, I remember the first time that we had the culinary class, we had to say what was the reason why we were in school, like what made us, you know, come to school. And everybody wanted to like either work in a restaurant that has like 3 stars from a Michelin restaurant, or everybody wanted to like really get into the world of like working for somebody. But I feel like for all these years being a model, in a way, even though you're not working for yourself, you kind of are, because you don't have a boss, you know, like, so I was like, I can never really have a boss. I need to be my own boss, you know. Also being an athlete, you are your own boss. You control the things that, you know, like it's all about you. It's the discipline that you put yourself. So I was very much clear that I wanted to open my own restaurant. I remember saying that out loud. And my chef was, now that I think about it, very small-minded. She was like, you know, it's not something that you can do as soon as you graduate. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to prove you wrong, because I'm here to graduate and open the restaurant as soon as I graduated. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, I graduated in November and Baby Brasa opened in March next year.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, and that was 2016, yes. Baby Brasa in the West Village. How did you bring your Peruvian heritage to life with this concept?
So Baby Brasa definitely has a Peruvian DNA, but it's very much Latin American, right? Okay. I mean, I brought all the countries that I've lived and enjoyed in my life. I mean, we have like tostadas and tacos from Mexico. We have feijoada from Brazil. We have arepas from Venezuela and Colombia. So it's really a mix, but it has a lot of the Peruvian DNA and flavor profile. It was, at the beginning, it was kind of a challenge to explain people what Peruvian food was, because it was, I think still is not 100% known. But back like, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, Peru didn't really win number one culinary in the world. So people were like, what is Peruvian food? The first thing I had to say was ceviche, right? Like people immediately understand what ceviche is, and that is Peruvian. We're also in New York. It's very cosmopolitan, you know, so there's people from all over the world. And the acceptance was amazing. So it's been a super fun ride. Now we have more restaurants. I own also Tivoli. It's a trattoria. It's an Italian trattoria. Mm. There's recipes from my grandmother. I remember calling her like many nights. I'm like, Mom, how do you make the rigatoni bolognese? Or how do you make this, like, you know, like she has a favorite ricotta cheese with like honey. So I would call her a lot. And we just opened the coffee shop, Fellini.
That's amazing. And I want to talk a little bit more about the Peruvian cuisine, because like you said, it's definitely getting more well known now, but I still think that there's a lot of maybe misconceptions about what it includes. Of course, there's ceviche on the coast, but you know, it's much different up in the mountains or different areas. I remember when I visited the country, I was so surprised to learn there were over 4,000 varieties of potatoes grown there. What are some other cornerstones of Peruvian cuisine that you love?
Well, so one of the things that I love about Peruvian cuisine is, first of all, that out of the 32 climates that exist in the world, Peru has 30 of them. It's a country with more microclimates. So that what that means is that we can grow basically everything that you can imagine. And also it has a lot of altitude differences. So there's everything grows in Peru. And I think that is one of the interesting things about Peru is, aside of the whole Asian immigration, Peru was the first country to open Asian immigration in the Latin American continent. Mm-hmm. So in 1920s, there were more than 100 boats from China and Japan, like in the Pacific Ocean, waiting to come to Latin America. And Peru was the first one to say, yes, you can actually dock your boats here. And that just changed the way Peruvian food exists. You know, I mean, ceviche really is a take on sashimi. It's basically mm-hmm. raw food cooked in lime. So it was the Peruvian ingredients that were already in part of the land with all this, you know, Asian techniques that were coming in. And that became, I mean, like the revolution of flavor that Peruvian food is. But one of the ingredients that I like the most is quinoa. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, I learned to love quinoa in America because
really,
yes, I mean, it's funny too. And it, when I say this, like, people are like, how is it possible? I mean, I've been eating quinoa since I was like a little kid. But in Peru, we ate it like in a stew, kind of. And it was not my favorite thing, honestly. I hated quinoa when I was growing up. I never liked it. And then it was not until I came to America that you guys cook it like in a rice version, kind of like almost like rice, and then you put it on salads. So it was kind of like, what? Like quinoa and salad? Things like in Peru, this didn't go together, right?
Really?
And I love it. I love it because it is a great carb. It's also like, it's low glycemic levels. So it's like very healthy carb. And it's amazing. So now I'm a total American. I cook quinoa like an American.
what does your like family think of the your use of quinoa these days?
You know what? It's funny because, I mean, I brought this way of cooking quinoa. And now they also didn't like quinoa much. But now I like they cook quinoa at least once a week the American way.
That's so funny. When we come back, Franco reveals what led him to New York City and later teases what we can expect from his new Food Network show, Hot Dish.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're obviously so proud of your heritage. What does it mean to you to be able to share it through food?
I think it's the best way to share heritage in general. You know, I was in Italy last week and, you know, I was telling them joking, half joking, when I was saying that the best pizza is not Italian, is New York. And they were like, what? No, they were almost kicking me out of the restaurants. They're like, no way, you have to get out of here. I was like, guys, the best pizza is in New York. I'm telling you, I am a pizza guy. But it's amazing to see like how much, like there's so much pride that goes into cooking and into, you know, seeing people's reaction to food. I mean, the minute they put the pizza, the minute you take a bite, they're all waiting to see what you think, what you feel. You know, I feel we all do this, you know, with food. I mean, even if it's food from your country or if it's food that you've made in your apartment and you're like just having guests, you know, come in and try it. I think it's something that brings people together and makes us feel like at home. So I feel like it's a great way to share it. I'm very happy to be doing Hot Dish with Franco for Food Network. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. There's super fun moments also for stories that I have that are relatable. The first time that I was in New York and I went to Baltasar, I didn't know what Baltasar meant, but I felt this bustling energy of the restaurant business. And I was like, wow, you know, like this is New York restaurant life. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, give us some more like little teasers of what we can expect to see during these 6 episodes.
We're doing a mix of Latin America and Italy, which is the way I've been basically cooking for all my life. We have this deconstructed tiramisu that is delicious and super easy to make. And then we do like chorizo with melted cheese and arepas. These are just like things that like, I feel like these are recipes that are so simple and so used in America, but you don't see them here so much in New York or I mean, you see them in Latin America, but you don't see them so much in America. And I'm showing you how easy it is to just step out of your comfort zone, not so much, but just a little bit, and just experiment like incredible flavors. Of course, we're doing a classic bolognese because, of course, who doesn't like bolognese? I'm using 3 types of meat, though, to give it like a twist there and maybe like some cayenne pepper for a little spice. But yeah, it's just like delicious food. I mean, we're doing like a shrimp and chicken skewer tacos, like a guacamole with charred pineapple. Very delicious recipes.
What do you hope people take away from this show?
I want people to be entertained, to be happy when they're watching the show, and to really try the recipes, you know, because I feel like most of the time, whenever I'm watching a show and I see that there's so many steps or I feel like the complicated level starts getting high, then I'm like, okay, maybe I'll leave this recipe for some other time. The way we're doing the show is just like simple, you know? So these are like recipes that can be done quick. If you are living in a New York minute, you can cook them in your apartment and you're going to have a blast with the people you're sharing them with and just fun. I mean, I think we're going to have a lot of fun together.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Are there going to be some maybe date night worthy meals in there? I know you're kind of known for that as well.
For sure. We're doing some, we're working with some of Aphrodisiacs in some episodes. We're also doing like a delicious ceviche that is a vegetarian option. So we're also cooking, you know, targeting our veggies and vegan friends there. We're cooking with a lot of cilantro. For all the cilantro lovers and haters, I'm going to try to bring you to my corner there. But I'm giving you also some replacements like dill and parsley and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, speaking of, you know, date night, romantic meals, what are some key like do's and don'ts, whether you're cooking or just, you know, choosing a place to go for your date night?
I think, I mean, for me, for a date night, it's all about the other person, right? It's not so much about the dish. I mean, the dish is really second to the actual chemistry that you're having. So I think it has to be simple. Right. And also nothing heavy, of course, nothing heavy has to be light for whatever happens later. You're like, you know, you're feeling good. But I think, yeah, simple things. So we have some day night options available that are just, and then also dishes that can be made with 2 people, right? Like you chop and then I mix and stuff like that. And it's really about like, just like the flavor and the aromas of the dishes.
If you were designing a date night cooking class, what would that experience be like? What would be on the menu?
I think I would definitely start with like maybe an amuse-bouche would be like something from the sea. I was just in Italy. And I mean, one of the things, we were in the boat and we were like, let's try sea urchin. And it, honestly, it's not my favorite thing. Okay. Like I have to say this, but
yeah, same. I'm in the same boat.
Right. But you know what? There was something about being in the boat and like having the sea urchin and being in the ocean and tasting the ocean, because that's what sea urchin really tastes like, that I felt it was kind of like romantic and also kind of erotic in a sense, you know? It was just like, I don't know, the whole thing. So I feel like I would do something that has to do related to the sea. I also feel like every time we eat things from the ocean, it reminds us of something like a beautiful sunset. It gives us like a nice memory of like where we're eating that. So also when we're in the ocean, we're probably wearing very little clothes.
True.
So it also makes me like get in the mood like that. I think a ceviche is perfect for that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's also great for a date, because you know, you can do it together. It takes like 10 minutes top. So you could be enjoying, but really focused on the conversation. I like to be focused more on the conversation than on the steps of the recipe. So nothing that has to do, that is too complicated or has too many steps. So I would start with like maybe like a sea urchin, as an appetizer, move into a ceviche, and of course, finish with chocolate. Something with chocolate. I don't know. Some strawberries with chocolate. Such a cliche, but why not?
Yeah. Are you, you have a sweet tooth, I take it?
I do. Yeah. I mean, you know, so I go through like periods of times where like sometimes I'm like crazy for sweets. Sometimes I'm not so crazy for it. Lately, I am. I've been eating so many sweets in Italy. And one thing I like the way Italians do sweets, it's never too sweet. You know, it's like you can really finish a cake without having to think about that you ate the whole cake. Like sometimes I feel like here the cakes are like super sweet. So you get like a couple bites and you're good. So I like that.
What's been your favorite place that you've traveled to, either for the culture or for the food or both?
So I love Brazil. It's one of my favorite countries in the world. I live there part-time and I love the amount of vegetables and fruits that exist in the country and the way Brazilians eat. I mean, they eat so simple because there's so much variety of flavor in itself on the actual ingredient that, you know, it's a steak and a crazy amount of salad is the way that they eat. So I love that. I'm obsessed with Japan. I think, I mean, coming from Peru, we have a very big Japanese influence. I went to Japan for 3 weeks when I was studying in the French Culinary Institute. I did an internship in Japan. We did Tokyo, Kyoto, and Osaka. And being in Japan and like seeing also how it's all about the ingredient, like having the freshest fish with a little bit of soy sauce and rice, that's it. Like you don't need anything else, but it just tastes so good. And the way that, you know, I was very impressed by the way Japanese work, you know, like how clean their stations are, how there's so much respect for the actual ingredients, for the moment that you're cooking, for the actual moment of cooking, you know. I remember at Osaka, like the first time we arrived, we had to like kind of like it was 30 to 40 seconds to just acknowledge where you are, acknowledge your food station, acknowledge who you're serving. And I was like, wow, like these are things that you don't think. I mean, normally you just get to a kitchen and start chopping and cooking, but you're not acknowledging the ingredients. You're not thinking, wow, this is what I'm cooking. Like it's kind of a respect for that. And I love that about Japanese culture.
I completely agree. Do you have any travel on the horizon coming up?
I'm going to Mexico tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Okay.
Tomorrow. I go to Mexico once a month. It's part of my agenda. I love it. I work there a lot. And just, I mean, it's one of my favorite things about Mexico. And it's like, it's when I arrive to Mexico City, as soon as I step out of the plane, I smell tacos and tostadas.
It's so true.
It's like that maize, you know, smell, like the corn smell that you're like, I've arrived in Mexico. So yeah, I mean, I do Mexico next week and then who knows?
And then who knows? What's your favorite street food to eat in Mexico City?
I mean, when I'm in Mexico City, I love tacos. I feel like they do the best tacos in all of Mexico. Now, when you're stepping into like, if you go into the closer to the ocean, the tacos are different because they're more like fresh, of course, because there's the ocean there. But I am very much a meat lover. So I like steak tacos. They're my favorite. But My favorite tacos are also in New York City.
Where? Which one?
Tacos número uno, number one tacos. Yes. My God. There. They're just you don't have to go to Mexico. You just go to meet to the Chelsea Market and you'll get them there.
This is true. Have you been to Taqueria Ramirez yet?
No. Where's that?
It's in Greenpoint. You got to check it out. It's very Mexico City vibes.
Okay, so, I will. Yeah. I'm a taco lover, so I'll definitely come check it out.
Well, I mean, while I'm asking you about New York restaurants, you mentioned the pizza. Where's Franco's go-to spot for a slice in New York? Or you can list several if you need to.
Okay. I have a couple that I like. I mean, I like Ruby Rosa just because it's like so delicious and I like to be there. I also like Zassi's Pizza for a slice. I think they do a great job. What else? I mean, I'm a big fan of Serafina on Madison and 61st. I mean, specifically that location, I think they kill it with the pizza there. They do a great job. And Poly G's in Greenpoint is next level.
They do a great job as well. I could talk pizza and food with you all day, but we are running short on time. What upcoming projects are you excited about? Aside from Hot Dish, of course.
Aside from Hot Dish. You know, we opened this coffee place Fellini 2 months ago. And I'm excited for the expansion. We're opening in Soho in a month and a half. We have Financial District also opening around the same time. I'm excited about the expansion of Fellini Coffee all over New York City.
Well, we can't wait to continue enjoying it and checking it out. And that actually leads perfectly into our rapid fire round before we ask you one final question. All right, so we'll start with your coffee order at Fellini, of course.
Oh my God, my favorite, the protein chino.
It's what's protein. That?
My God, it's like, I mean, Americans, we are so obsessed with protein, right? Mm-hmm. Like we love protein. I created like this simple cappuccino with protein. So we foam the protein with the milk and then we just do a double shot of espresso on top and it's delicious.
So how much extra protein does it add?
It actually has 22 grams of protein. Wow. So it's a good amount.
Okay, I'm going to have to check that out next time I'm down there. All right, who is on your kitchen playlist?
Who is my kid? You know, it depends on the mood. Lately I don't know why, but I've been going back to like old school Mariah Carey songs.
Yes.
I think it also has to do with the fact that Christmas is around the corner and she always pops, like she's back in the Christmas game.
I love that.
But I love the old Mariah Carey, like old school, like the first album she has. Mm-hmm. I like Whitney Houston to cook. I mean, I don't know. I like this very like mellow kind of romantic vibe to cook.
Okay. Well, that's very on brand. So that makes sense. All right. Favorite West Village spots aside from your own?
Aside from my own. Okay. The West Village has one of the best restaurants in the city. So there's a couple. I like Don Angie.
Love Don Angie.
For Italian, one of my favorites. One of the new spots that I kind of like is L'Antica Pizzeria, which is this new pizza place. It's from the movie Eat, Pray, Love. They had this Napolitan place and now they open in the West Village. It's pretty good. I'm still in the West Village, but it's kind of West Village, Soho.
It's adjacent.
Indochine. I love Indochine for Vietnamese French style cooking night. And of course, Baby Brasa.
And of course, Baby Brasa. All right. Book you read that changed your perspective.
Okay. So I read a lot. I read at least one book a month. So I can tell you the one I just finished reading, which is called The Future is Faster Than You Think. And it talks about the AI world we're living in and where we're about to step in. I mean, even though we're already in it, it's not there yet in terms of like where we're about to be just next year and the following 3 to 5 years. I mean, the way our life is going to change, our ways of communicating, even right now, I mean, we're in different places and we're doing this, you know what I mean? It's insane. It's interesting to think that the future is really faster than we think. I mean, like things are moving pretty fast. And I think AI is here to help us more than, you know, not sometimes like there's a lot of conversations about like how this is going to hurt us. But I think there's a lot of positive things coming from AI and I'm excited for it. I'm always a very positive kind of futurist guy. I love what's coming next. So I love this book.
Yeah, I'm going to recommend that. You should talk to my boyfriend. You guys have the same perspective about AI and how it can just help us and that kind of thing. So, all right. Favorite way to work out?
You know, I work out alone because my workout is kind of the way, I mean, aside of working out, I'm also like decompressing and like focusing on myself and like my thoughts. So I kind of like to be in my own groove. I put my music on. I don't know. I mean, I'm in my vibe. I'm like checking out myself in the mirror. It's like I'm doing good exercises. I like it.
I love the honesty. All right.
You're there. You have to. I mean, yeah, that's why you're right? For, right?
That's why you're there, right?
Exactly.
All right. Food Network chef you'd love to cook with.
I think, I mean, an all-time favorite is Bobby Flay. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's funny. He's cool. He's genuine. And I mean, he's like a great chef.
Would you ever go up against him on Beat Bobby Flay?
Yeah, why not? For sure.
All right, Bobby. Challenge is out there.
Challenge, yes.
All right. Our final question, not rapid fire. We ask this to everybody before we close out our conversations. And that question is, what would be on the menu for your perfect food day? So we want to hear your breakfast, your lunch, dinner, dessert. There's no rules. Calories don't count. You can travel, time travel, spend absurd amounts of money, whatever you want to do. It's your day.
Okay. So, I mean, my day always starts with, I never have breakfast at home. I always have a protein shake, which is basically oats, water, and protein. So I love to start that way because then I don't know where I'm going to eat. So I like to start that, like my day with protein shake. Then for sure, a slice of pizza anywhere in the city. I feel like a good slice. You can tell when a pizza is good just by looking at it. So any corner that has a good slice of pizza. I'm very much a pasta fanatic also. I like the pastas that are homemade, like pasta fatta in casa. I love it. Like a good pasta. Now that we're coming into winter truffle season, it's my favorite white truffles forever. I was eating a lot of black truffles now that I was for like, you know, in the summer in Italy. So for summer truffles. But I love truffles. So I think it's one of my favorite ingredients. What else do I really like? Oh, I'm a big steak guy. I mean, yes. I love steak. So a good ribeye, thick, very thick ribeye, medium rare, all the way aged. Yes. We're speaking the same language here. I love it. And then I guess I would finish with like, what would I finish with? Either like, I love the cookies, like the lava cookie game with like ice cream. I like this combination of hot and cold or like a classic, simple, delicious tiramisu.
Of course.
Any of those.
Well, it sounds like a perfect Franco food day. And we are so excited for you about the new show. And thank you so much for taking the time to share your story.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I'm excited also. Leave me in the comments on my socials. I'm excited to see what you guys think. We've made this with a lot of love. And I think we're all going to have a lot of fun. Jamie, thank you so much for your time and for this interview.
You can catch Franco on Hot Dish, premiering on Food Network September 30th, tomorrow at noon Eastern. Make sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a thing. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review. We love it when you do that. That's all for now. We'll catch you foodies next Friday.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.